Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be here in the place of worship, to worship Him. I think before we get into the scripture, there's a song that I had especially noticed. If you get your Christian hymnals and turn to page 151. 151. And let's all of us stand together as we sing this. God is getting His church ready. And one of these days He's going to say, it's enough. Come on up higher. And I want to be a part of that, don't you? 151. Church of God, thou spotless virgin, Church of Christ, for whom He died, thou hast no human founder. Jesus bought thee for His bride, sanctified by God the Father, built by Jesus Christ the Son, tempered by the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Three in One. God Himself has set the members in His body all complete, organized by Jesus only, all the union pure and sweet. Church of God, the angels marvel at the music of thy song. Earth and hell in terror tremble as thy army moves along. Church of God, beloved city, thou art a celestial mold.
Learning all His loving bosom is the church, His chosen bride.
Maybe see, thank the Lord. Far above this world's confusion, walking close by Jesus' side, leaning on His loving bosom, is the church, His chosen bride. Thank the Lord for it. The glorious church of God. Brother Jason scared me this morning. He got up and said, Matthew 25. Oh, that's the scripture I'd chosen, one of them. And then I breathed a little sigh of relief when he went down to the last part of the chapter. I still was planning to look at that, but the first part was the main part. And I thought, well, the Lord knows what He's doing. If we need two sermons the same, then that's fine. So, Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I'd like to start reading in the first verse. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Why don't we just bow our heads before we start? Father, as we come to Thee this morning, we realize our need of Thee and Thy need of Thy help. And we pray as we look into Thy word, Lord, that it shall reach out to each one of our hearts and that we shall be touched, encouraged, and strengthened. And Lord, when that great day appears, we pray that we shall be like Him and face to face, that we shall behold Him. We pray that Thou will just have Thy way this morning, and that we might have tender hearts and receptive minds, Lord, to sense Thy direction. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I believe this is a real picture of the day that we're living in. He said the kingdom of heaven would be likened to 10 virgins, and he speaks about that they took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five were wise and five were foolish. Five were wise and five were foolish. And in the day we live in, there are only two types of people, and that's what they are, is the wise and the foolish. And he doesn't classify the wise as those that have been shrewd businessmen or men with big bank accounts. He doesn't classify it with ones that have all kinds of knowledge or all kinds of college degrees, those kinds of things. In fact, he said this, that it's pretty hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. The disciples said, well, then who will be able to enter in? And he said, what's impossible with man will be possible, is possible with God. And I think it is, if we live our lives as what we have is what we don't have. It's his, it's God's. Whatever we have is God's. If God give us anything, then it's not ours, it's his. And it's not by our abilities that we say, like Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, look at this great Babylon that I have built, this great Babylon that I have built. Look at my accomplishments. Look at all the chariots running on the walls around this great Babylon. Look at all the people that are underneath me, and I can say what they do and what they don't do. And if they rebel, then I just simply cut their heads off, and that's the end of it. But in just a little bit, he found himself out in the field, eating grass with the cows, and his fingernails growed out like long claws, and a horrible picture of one that tried to lift himself up and say, here's my resume, look at what I've done. Or Herod was, that he got up and he made that great speech, and it really impressed the people. And they said, spoke of him as being like even a god. And he didn't give God the glory. And the scripture tells us that he was eaten of worms. He fell down and he died because he took the glory himself. And that is one of the pictures of the apostate church system and those who are on the foolish side, that they want you to see their resume, their abilities, all these different things that they have. But the people of God are those that have come by the humble way of the cross. They've kneeled down at the foot of the cross and they've given all to the Lord. They've yielded their lives to him, and they're not promoting themselves at all. They're promoting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they're little in their own eyes. The scripture says they're as nothing, they're base, but they're his. And he's not ashamed to call them his children. And they can call him their father, their heavenly father. Thank the Lord. We can be among that humble crowd, those that are a part of the remnant that is called out of the world and called out of the ungodliness and the awful immorality and all the things that are around us, not trying to get as close to the world as they can get, but as far away from it as possible. They're seeking God's will above everything. There's a song that I thought I would mention here. And the secret of all of this is those that have the oil. Without the oil, there is no light. With the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, then the light of Christ shines out through us. If we don't have the oil, we have nothing whatsoever. We can be dressed from the top to the bottom just perfectly, and that's scriptural. But we must have the oil of God's holy presence within us. Listen to what this songwriter has to say. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret, all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world. They've taken wings. You know, this is where a lot of people, they need to see where they stand. Long ago, I gave them up, and instantly, all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. There's a lot of church people that are still trying to make it to heaven on their accomplishments, on their good works. We were looking the other day in my office, a young man and myself, and there was a chart on the wall. I thought, well, maybe it'll catch somebody's attention. And you've probably seen, a lot of you have seen the little chart. You can even get them big enough you can stick in your Bible. And it was the Amish girl. She was some way, I don't know if she's paralyzed or just what it was, and she couldn't get around, but the Lord gave her the ability to be able to draw, and she'd drawn out this picture, and it's just quite amazing. As you start off, it starts up this way, and then the ones that were going in the narrow way, it shows them as they're heading on up, and clear on up until the celestial city, there it is, all up there ahead. And down over here on this side was the Broadway. And crowds of people were going in there. You know, anybody can go in there. You can neglect your salvation. You can just neglect everything. You can just slide in. It's got a slippery slide. And it winds on out and out and out, until out beyond the mountains are the flames of hell flying up into the air. And it shows another crowd here. Those are the narrow way and the broad way. And a big division between them. But still on the left side, there's a group of people that evidently they're professors. There are those that are going to some church that are professing something, but they're still on the broad way, and they're winding their way out there in the same way that broad way is, right side by side. There they go. And the young man looked at it and he said, "That's where I want to go, to heaven." And I tell your parents, it's worth everything to teach your children so that their hearts will long after God and long to walk on the narrow way and not be ashamed of Jesus, but have given everything to him and are heading for the celestial city. And want to stay as far away. We talked about, oh, that place. That's a horrible place. That's a place where eternity never ends. And where the fires of hell are there for those that have rejected Jesus. We find that crowd right here. We find the wise and we find the foolish. And the foolish had their lamp. They had a profession. All 10 had a profession, but the difference was God's holy presence there, the oil of the Holy Spirit that produced the light, Jesus, the light of the world. And the foolish didn't have it. At one time, it appears like that they did. They may have been a member of the First Mennonite Church in wherever. They may have been a member of this or a member of that. But something happened, and when the call went out, and the scripture says right here, while they were, well, let's look right. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They begged the wise for just a little oil of theirs. They needed some oil. They didn't have what it was going to take to get to heaven. What is it going to take to get to heaven? Is it going to take my good deeds? Is it going to take my approval of the ministers or my relatives or my friends? No, the scripture tells us that, even like the song says, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him when we stand there before the judgment seat of Christ? And there we are without any excuses whatsoever. Here we are. We're either so thankful and so grateful that everything was taken care of and that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin and that the old grudges and the old bitterness and the old feelings and all those things were all lined out, and that I was ready on that great day. We don't dare wait until all of a sudden we're on our deathbed and we think we can have a deathbed experience, because we need to be ready at any moment when he calls that we'll be ready for that great day. One last verse I'd like to read is that last one in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Watch, therefore. Because of all of these and this example, this illustration that was given to us from the scriptures, and we can see the wise and we can see the foolish, that we who are still alive and still have opportunity to obey God, watch. The scripture says, watch and pray. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour when he's coming. But those that are ready, when the call goes out and the last trump of God sounds, they're the ones that are going to be caught away to be with him. And the others, over there is a place, the scripture, or some of the people say it's like a place where when you go in, over the door is written, no hope. There is no hope to those that enter that area. I want to be ready when he calls. I want to be a part of that spotless virgin, not be ashamed of Jesus, but hate the world, hate the flesh, hate the devil, and be all out for him. Thank the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.